Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday Communion, June 5th, 2022.
The first Sunday of each month, we keep a ritual established by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the Lord's table, the communion service, the Eucharist, it's called many things. There's no place in the Bible that says how often you are to keep this ritual, and every church establishes that on their own. I wanted it to be something very special. So there are 365 days in the year, and we have communion 12 days, once a month. It keeps it very special. In the Lord's eyes and thinking, it's something very special. And for you who understand grace, understand truth, understand the spiritual life, for you who are growing up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this gets more meaningful and more powerful month by month. You keep advancing. You keep growing. When you reach that point of occupation with Jesus Christ, personal love for God the Father, well, that's when it's the best of the best. It'll be something you always look forward to. The communion service enables each member of the royal family of God to look back and to celebrate the strategic victory won by our Lord on the cross in Operation Grace. Our Lord has given all members of the royal family this mandate: do this in remembrance of me. And therefore, the communion service is the most solemn phase of worship that the believer enters into in time. In fact, the communion service serves as a test to see how much you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will know when you love the Lord to the maximum, for the communion service will be the most meaningful and powerful worship service in your life. The purpose of the communion service is intensified fellowship with our Lord. It is a time of maximum fellowship with and concentration on both the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ in Operation Grace. And since the communion service is a time of intensified fellowship with the living and true God around His table, there is one prerequisite. That is, you must be in fellowship with God. You lose fellowship with God through sin. You recover fellowship with God through rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit in your spiritual life. Now you can do a right thing. Come to the Lord's table the right way in fellowship with God. So in preparation to worship our Lord at His table, let's pray. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have invited all of Your royal family to come to Your table to fellowship with You, sir, and with our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do so, we ask that God the Holy Spirit might recall from the memory center of our hearts all of those magnificent principles and promises and doctrines that relate to both the person and work of Jesus Christ, that these next few moments might be very meaningful for everyone who is here. For we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As we come to the Lord's table, there are two elements. There is the bread, and there is the cup. The bread speaks of the unique person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the cup speaks of His unique work on the cross for each one of us. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me will never hunger. He who believes in Me will never thirst." As you look at the bread, you're looking at the unique person of the universe, the theanthropic person, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. Different from God in that He is man and perfect man. Different from man in that He is the eternal God. And when you look at the bread, you're looking at the genuine humility of the Son of God. It was God the Father who designed Operation Grace, the cross, and it was God the Son who said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." And that was absolutely amazing. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing He would have to leave heaven and leave glory. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing He would have to humble Himself and take on true humanity. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing He would be rejected by His own people and treated as a common criminal. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing He would be laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, thorns crushed on His head. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing He would be beaten to the point His closest friends could hardly recognize Him. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing He would have to carry His own cross to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And He said, "Yes, sir," knowing that when He got there, He would be crucified. In all of that, there was a lot of suffering. And yet none of that suffering provided salvation for you and for me. It was what happened next. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing that while He was on the cross, God the Father would gather up the sins of the whole world, pour them out on Him, and judge them in Him. And knowing that, He said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." So on that very first Christmas, the eternal Son of God left heaven. Through the incarnation and virgin birth, he came into the world free from Adam's imputed sin, free from the inherent sin of the old sin nature, and he proceeded to live a life on this earth totally free from personal sin, so that he was impeccable, sinless perfection, and therefore qualified to go to the cross and be our Savior. I'm going to ask David Olson, one of our deacons, to pray with regard to the bread.
Father God, we thank you for who and what you are. We thank you for your amazing grace and your perfect plan to send your one and only Son from heaven to earth to be our substitute. And sir, we thank you for the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his genuine humility to say yes to your plan, knowing everything that he would endure to purchase our spiritual freedom. Sir, for all this we thank you. We pray in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
It is the custom of this local church to retain the bread until everyone has been served. The Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As the bread speaks of the unique person of our Lord Jesus Christ, so the cup speaks of his unique work on the cross for each one of us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. But the Lord, God the Father, has laid on him, God the Son, the iniquity of us all. As you look at the cup, you're looking at the work of our Lord directed toward three main areas: toward sin, toward man, toward God. His work directed toward sin is summarized in the doctrines of redemption and atonement. In the scriptures, the word to redeem literally means to purchase from a slave market. And that accurately describes the human condition. We were all born into slavery, slaves to sin and to death, slaves to the old sin nature as the ruler of human life, slaves to Satan as the ruler of this world. And there was only one free man outside of that slave market, the impeccable God-man, Jesus Christ. The coin of the realm that purchased our freedom, the blood of Christ. A very important phrase in the Word of God. It speaks of the saving work of Christ on the cross. It speaks of those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m. Should have been the brightest time of the day. But God the Father brought a supernatural darkness over the land. For now he was gathering the sins of the whole world, pouring them out on his Son and judging them in him. At the end of that 3 hours of darkness and judgment, the darkness left. Jesus Christ was still physically alive. And that is when the world heard the greatest victory cry it will ever hear. Tetelestai, it is finished. All the work for salvation was completed by Christ on the cross, so that now anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can have the gift of eternal life. And when you look at the cup, you're looking at the work of our Lord directed toward man. This is summarized in the doctrine of reconciliation. To reconcile means to remove a barrier. Jesus Christ removed the barrier between God and man by his work on the cross, so that whosoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. And when you look at the cup, you're looking at the work of our Lord directed toward God the Father. This is summarized in the doctrine of propitiation. To propitiate means to satisfy. Jesus Christ satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God. He satisfied the righteousness of the Father because he was absolute righteousness. He satisfied the justice of the Father by bearing our sins in his body on the cross. I'm going to ask Al Bingham, another one of our deacons, to pray with regard to the cup.
Father God, we want to thank you for your grace and for the freedom that you've provided us to assemble today to celebrate the person and work of your Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful that Jesus Christ did all the work on the cross, that he paid the penalty for our sins when he died for us, so that by simply believing in him, we have everlasting life. As we partake of the cup, may we do so with humility and gratitude for who and what Jesus Christ is and what he did for us on the cross. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
It is also the custom of this local church to retain the cup until all have been served. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you, sir, for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the so great salvation he accomplished for us. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you not only found a way to take us from spiritual death and give us the gift of eternal life in your imputed righteousness, but also to bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And for these things, sir, we are forever grateful. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now Randy is going to lead the congregation in "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
Well, first,
if we don't kill each other on the way.
Okay, if you quit standing, we'll say number 224, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Now, my understanding is you have sort of a tradition as far as how you sing, sung this in the past. You sing the first two verses at sort of a normal level, the third verse, low volume, and then the fourth verse, back up in volume. We'll also decrease the speed or tempo on the last few words of the last line. "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hand, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. You're dismissed.